Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
803 ESPN 97.5. Art, that is not a question for somebody that got over the coronavirus.
Yeah. Some of these questions are horrible. Some of your comments are horrible.
Art, that is unacceptable.
You kind of started that, though. That's kind of on you, though, John.
Well, is Christine able to make sandwiches again?
They definitely have a John Granato tint to them. I mean,
I've never said that in my life. I've never asked that of Christina. Well, maybe I did once.
Yeah.
I probably did. Well, let me see. I wouldn't ask that on a live interview.
John, can I ask you a question? What's the most people that watch the Houston Texans? What's the most people that watch the Houston Cougars?
Houston Cougars?
In football.
40, well, it's at live or on television?
Live.
Live. 40,000.
Barstool Big Cat gets 60,000 plus when he's playing NCAA 2014 on Twitch. 60,000 plus people watch him play a video, watch him play, because that's the last version was NCAA 2014. I'm on to this e-gaming thing. Because look, did you see what Max Scherzer said? We're not obviously not having baseball.
Right.
Max Scherzer already came out and said, oh, I'm sorry. After discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with Major League Baseball on any further compensation reductions. We have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe MLB's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information.
Hmm.
Now, the fans are strongly on his side. The shift, at least on Twitter, the shift of, it used to be no one cared about, fans would be upset about the owners and players. A lot of times, sometimes they would align on an owner side, less times on a player side. Now it's become, I'm not backing billionaires, I only back millionaires.
There's a lot more information now, though. And when we see that the owners already negotiated this, now they're coming back, and how sleazy it is, the way that they're going about it, and 44% of... It's actually 44% of their prorated already, which is a fraction, which is about 20% of their pay for playing a half a season. And it's just...
In the midst of a pandemic.
Right. And you know what? We're all... I could see now, I really can see a scenario where there is no baseball.
The owners are going to have to cave on this one.
And yes.
Look, now once again, this is a high dollar player.
Yeah.
This is the guy who's affected the most. The lower dollar players, but this will never even get to a vote.
More than half the league makes $1 million or less.
Yeah. But so, they'll never get a vote.
They'll never get the vote.
And they're also not going to vote against the vets.
Well, but, I mean, listen, they're young guys and they've got
some of these guys
young
are going
families.
To, well, no, some
and
of these
they
guys
need
are
that money
to,
and they're like, paychecks. Where are they going to make $500,000 to $1 million?
First of all, they're not making that. A $1 million guy is not making $1 million. He's going to make about $390,000.
Right, but still, $390,000 bringing home is pretty damn good money.
Nobody's making zero.
Yeah, right. That's right. So he's going to say, "No, I'm going to get back to work. I don't give a rat's ass about Max Scherzer's $35 million contract. I need to feed my family."
Max can sit tight and Max can chill till next year. Many in the league are going to have to go out and see if the and what are you going to do? Find work in an economy where you have 30 million unemployed. You know,
40.
It's going to be headed to 30
million.
40. 40 million unemployed, actually, yeah. But an unemployment rate nationally of, I think it's 17% nationally, 24% in California. I mean, it's just some of those guys don't have checks coming in.
No, right now in America, it's one every four workers is out of work. One of every four.
No, because California is just 24%.
One of every four right now
are
out of work. Yes. That's the stat today.
You sure?
Yeah.
It can't be because there's 40 million have filed for unemployment. We have way more than 160 million people in the country.
Well, how many people are actually
160 million workers.
Yeah, how many people actually work in terms of
populations?
Wait, okay. Oh, population versus workers. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right.
Well, we still have multiple billions. So I would be surprised. Like I said, this is a very new article I saw where California is at 24% unemployment, and that's Great Depression level.
The U.S. population currently is 328. Now the census will change that. By the way, fill out that paperwork. 328.2 as of 2019. So, and as far as the workforce, that would be a different number. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's around that 24 to 25% nationally.
Let me check. What is national unemployment rate? Because that seems... it was 14.7% in April of 2020, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Yeah. That's not one in four.
Now,
no.
In 2018, the workforce population was about 156 million people. So 40 million people are out of work. Now, it might have grown since 2018, but if 40 million people are out of work...
Oh, that's where that number would come from.
Yeah.
Well, this is an actual... statistics, it says in April...
Over 40 million Americans have now lost their jobs. That's one in every four people. This is what the exponential growth is. Another 2.1 million unemployment claims were filed last week. The Labor Department reported Thursday, pushing the total past 40 million, the equivalent of one every four American workers.
Yeah, this has...
40.7.
This is their official numbers for April is 14.7. I know in California it's headed over 24% for California, and they're being hit the worst, them in New York.
Lance, that's through April. We're already through May.
Well, yeah, but I don't know that it's going to jump 10%.
It's
unemployment for
another 2.1 last week.
It's going
at a crazy rate. Anyway, yeah, whatever.
Well, but the point is you're not going to go. There's going to have to be guys. They got to go get work.
Yeah. No,
if you don't have paychecks,
most of baseball players, they're uneducated for the most part because they play baseball and forego college in a lot of instances, and they're really have one skill set and that's playing baseball, and to be that young and to be having the possibility, even if you're 26, 27 years old, how many make $500,000 to $1 million?
Can you get
How many people in America make $500,000? Forget at that age. How many people in America make $500,000 to $1 million?
Can you get unemployment as an athlete? I don't think so. Can you?
I don't.
Not those kind of numbers.
No, absolutely not. There's a limit on how much you get anyway.
Well, we're hearing the stories about minor leaguers, particularly the A's players, who can't file for unemployment because they won't. But they're not paying them. Like the A's
minor leaguers no longer paying you per week. Are basically done.
We had the couple on, but that was hitting home runs in their backyard.
Yeah, and he doesn't play anymore.
No, he was a minor leaguer and he got cut. He got furloughed. Yeah.
But this is minor leaguers right now. There's a chance minor leaguers are done because they have to have people who are willing to foot the bill. Like the owners don't foot the bill for all the minor league. You have minor league owners. The minor leagues, as we know it, if this thing, even if it wipes out, we talk about with college football, how that could wipe out. You're already seeing the elimination of a lot of non-revenue generating sports at a lot of schools, and it's going to get worse for a lot of them over the next 2 to 3 months, especially if people don't go to school, if you don't have the same attendance numbers. But and that's not unreasonable to think that we won't see the same attendance numbers to colleges based on people's economic standing.
Well, minor leagues depend entirely on attendance. They don't have any television contracts. There may be a minor league team, some Memphis or somewhere, that has some television contract. But for the most part, no television contract. And if they don't have any fans in the stands, there's no reason for sponsorships. So, no, you're right. Where are they going to play? Now, the owners pay all the salaries, and the owners of the minor league team, the owners of the major league teams pay all the salaries, but the owners of the minor league teams pay all of the expenses for the stadium and everything else. And without fans in the stands, there is absolutely no need for major. There's no way that they can afford minor league baseball.
Do you think if baseball were to come back? So in soccer, instead of three substitutions, you have five. At least in Bundesliga, and I would think that other soccer organizations are going to be the same thing, because there's concern about, you know, injury and things like that after being out. So you get a maximum of three substitutions usually. Now it's five. Do you think that baseball? I think it would be smart for baseball, especially with the minor leaguers being with minor league being out, to expand the rosters. And of course, I don't know how you do it right now with they're unable to come to an agreement in terms of the numbers. But I think expanding the rosters to a true 40-man roster, I don't think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
To say, hey, you can, except for the fact that how do you social distance with 40 guys?
Suppose now they go back and there's no minor leagues. Suppose the pitcher gets hurt. Where are you going to get a guy to replace him?
That's why you almost have to have your own minor league system inside the majors. Maybe there's 60 players.
You know, that's what the XFL did. They had a camp, a continuing camp of guys not in the league. And if somebody got hurt, you draw right from that camp.
Where they all work out together.
They did it in
That's
doubt.
Almost what you're going to have to do, right? If a player's hurt, and if you got to, you're going to have to bring up a guy who I guess has to stay league ready. You're going to have to have something in place, team by team, where you know these guys are getting work in.
Yeah.
They have to be getting work in. Even if it's not organized by the team, they've got to.
The only smart way to do it is
have a designation of minor leaguers.
Yeah, all your guys, but you're going to have to pay those. That's another expense for the owners, is paying guys to just sit around and play simulated games and they may never, ever get to the big leagues, but you just have to have them ready.
See, and the owners have to absorb that.
Yeah.
Now you know why the owners need to get salaries.
So I'm on the owner's side.
Salaries, yeah.
8:15, me.
In one
Vince,
segment, you flip.
Me, Vince, Jim Crane, all of us.
Vince? I thought you were off of Vince.
I am off Vince now. He can't buy the league. Screw you, Vince. And give Oliver Luck his money.
That was fast.
Pay that man, Oliver Luck, his money.
I hope Oliver knows that John ain't loyal.
I'm loyal
John
to Oliver.
With the win. You weren't like a week ago.
Oh, yeah. No. I always said, I hope Oliver gets his money, but
when the thought was that Vince was going to buy the league back, you had a different approach to everything.
Well, because he's my guy. He was my guy.
But he's not your guy.
No, that hoe ain't loyal either.
Well, okay. We know Vince ain't loyal.
8:15, ESPN 97.5, TGS, what are they?
TGS Insurance is the best at finding you a way. You know, we're talking about money this and money that, and that's going to be a big concern for a lot of people moving forward, and as if it weren't previously. And one of the ways that you can save money is lowering your homeowner's insurance. And even if you just signed up with a homeowner's insurance, you know, oh man, I wish I would have known about this a month ago. It doesn't matter. What can happen is that you switch. I did this myself. I had 3 months to go with my homeowner's and actually with my auto as well. And I made the switch. And what they do is they've got a cancellation letter. All you have to do is sign it. You scan it to your company. It's super, super easy. And then they will get you your prorated amount back in the mail in the form of a check. It works that simply. So you don't have to stay through the duration of that contract with a car insurance or homeowner's insurance. You don't have to. You get your money back as well in a fairly timely manner. And here's the great thing. TGS Insurance has A-rated insurance companies for your homeowner's insurance. So you get the same great coverage at much lower prices in many cases. The average savings are almost $900, and in many cases it climbs much higher than that. All you have to do is text MONEY, the word MONEY, to 232323, and you are going to get a firm quote back in about 15 seconds. It's that simple. Text MONEY to 232323. There's no strings attached. You can do it right now, or if you're listening on a podcast, do it right now and find out what your number could be and how much you could save with TGSinsurance.com. Text MONEY to 232323.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for sports talk. And now we're more talk with less commercials.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
And you see what's going on in Minneapolis? Holy crap. The city's on fire. And, man, the third precinct, they have video of them, of people throwing rocks through the windows of the police station. And it is, it's a bad situation.
So a point where people say,
enough.
What's a peaceful protest mean at this point?
Yep.
When all it means is we can look up in a couple months or even less and see another person who looks like me being what appears to be, at least in this last case, clearly murdered by a law enforcement officer. And then they're like, why are we being peaceful when nothing changes?
We saw the exact same thing happen in L.A. with Rodney King. I mean, the riots that took place. I remember watching on TV like, holy crap, that was unbelievable. And it looks like same things happened in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Just buildings just being set on fire. One dead, one in custody. There was also gunfire. This is going to get much, much bigger too. And the fire department and the police are being attacked wherever they go, so they're not going to come. They're not coming to the rescue of anything, I don't think. And the fire departments also are worried about being overwhelmed. So I don't think you're going to see. I don't think you're going to see them out there fighting the fires. This is going to be really, really bad. It already was really bad. I mean, what happened to George Floyd was bad. This is a bad situation all the way around.
Yeah.
Golly, I can't even watch videos of this, man. This is Minneapolis is going to have some. She's going to be tough there for a while. We'll see what happens. But, people get fed up with the same thing over and over. It's not like you're sitting here thinking, I can't believe, honestly, I know this isn't a political show, but I just can't believe I've watched this same. I had a conversation one time with, I was sitting in a room with, I was at NFL with, and it was, and I'm not, this is not a name drop. This is just to tell you that having regular guy conversation. It was Bucky Brooks, Maurice Jones-Drew, and Michael, Michael Robinson, formerly of Penn State.
The quarterback. Yeah.
And I really like all those guys, all three of those guys. So I'm in the room, and they're talking about some different stuff that was happening at one of the guys has a son who's in school and had something happen where a teacher said something, the kid acted out. Like it was, the teacher said something, I thought, what? The teacher said that? And he was talking about things that happened on a playground. He's at a predominantly white school. And they were just having conversations. And Michael Robinson kind of pulled up. He wanted to say something about something that was happening. And he stopped. And MJD said, he pointed at me. He goes, he's one of us. You can talk. You can say it. And MJD, he said, you say whatever you got to say. Lance is, he's fine. So they were talking. And I couldn't believe some of the stuff I was hearing that, like, you hear it. But then when you hear it from people you know, you get desensitized to hearing. When my buddy Rodney getting pulled over, he drives a nice car. He's a sports agent, went to law school, has clients that, that you would know. Montez Sweat is one of them. And he's a good friend. And he was at my birthday. You might have seen Rodney. Anyway, Rodney was telling me, he said, oh, no. We talk about things like this. He said, oh, I got pulled over on the way coming home from Richmond, Texas, where I was at my mom's to visit her, going back to Cinco Ranch. I got pulled over, and he said, he said, Lance, all of this is very real. I said, but Rod, do you really, fear for your life? Does it really, because we can have honest back and forth conversations about stuff. And he said, he goes, honestly, yes, I do think about these things. And, Rod is not like a 20-year-old guy, a 30-year-old guy. He's older now. But he said, yeah, you absolutely do. He said, you absolutely do. Because he said, all it takes is one cop. If you say the wrong thing, he said, I'm not saying all cops are bad or anything like that. It just takes one guy to think that you're out of line. And before you know it, things escalate. And he said, so yeah, I absolutely. And he said, I got detained for nothing. He said, I got pulled over. Not even a ticket was given. He just was checking out who I was and what I was doing in my own neighborhood. On the outskirts, he said, Lance, it's a. So when you hear it over and over from people you know and it becomes more personal. And some of the stuff I heard in L.A. from those guys, you just realize, man, it's not just stuff you see or hear about. It's going on a lot more than we ever probably thought. I mean, it's more than an anecdote. Let me just put it that way.
Was that picture real? Of that, I saw somebody tweeted out the cop that was.
That's not Make America White. Well,
yeah,
no, that's not a real.
Yeah, that couldn't have been real. Although it was tweeted it's out by somebody famous.
Yes, it's tweeted out that way. But that's the thing is you can make something like that and it turns into reality. But no, it's not. They had a red hat on him that said Make America White Again.
Right.
I heard yesterday, that was not a real. That was a Photoshop picture.
Here's another really really nice story. This guy, Chris Hutchinson, how about this? He won a $10,000 bet. Isn't that great? That's a nice story, isn't it?
For him.
I think. Isn't it always great to win a nice
$10,000? What was it for?
Well, he bet that the death toll in America would hit 100,000 deaths by September. And he won $10,000 doing it.
Wow.
Isn't that nice? And here's his tweet. 100,000 deaths hit 3 months to spare. With 3 months to spare, sad to see. But on the positive side.
No, he did not do that.
Yes, he did. It's real. It's a Yahoo story.
But on the positive side, my God.
I get 10 grand. Gamblers
are the most heartless people. And I've been one, so I know what that feels like. But they're the most heartless. You don't have a favorite team. My favorite team is Texas A&M. Okay, but if you're really about it, as Master P once said, then you will lay, you know, the 9 again, the 16.5 when Alabama comes to town. Show me you're about it by saying, you know what, this is my team, but I smell money.
Would it have made you feel better if he said, well, if I hadn't bet 10,000, I could have bet a million, but I believed in our country because that is. A statement from one of our leaders. Look, it's 100,000, I know. But if I hadn't done what I did, it could have been a million people dead.
Right.
So maybe if Chris had tweeted that out, look, well, I could have always bet a million people would have died by September, but I only limited it to 100K. So look,
look at me.
Look at the positive.
Hey, but on the positive side, he is matching 100%, donating dollar for dollar. He will match every donation to the homeless, to feed the homeless. So the money is going to good use.
So how much of the money is?
I think every dollar.
Because
he has since announced
raked over the
coals.
Well,
I think so.
Yeah.
He has since announced his victory on both the $10,000 challenge and another $2,500 bet he made on Twitter.
Just have to brag. Instead of collecting his money, he's like, woohoo, guys. He probably had 270 followers, most of them he knew, and it took one retweet and super spreaders.
Don't go viral.
That one, the $2,500 bet, the loser pays out while the winner donates the proceeds to the homeless. But he's constant. 100,000 deaths hit the 3 months with 3 months to spare! Exclamation point.
Bro, keep that one to yourself. Keep that in the tub.
I mean, I love his sensitivity, though. You know what I'm saying? Hey, 10 grand's 10 grand.
Hey, don't blame me for being on
that's
the ball.
Not me. Hey, just because I know stuff.
Or I don't know what he knew, but he was
He's
right.
He's trying to brag like, listen, I knew our country wouldn't pull this off.
Yeah.
I knew the social distancing was a joke for a lot of people. I saw what was happening. Hey, I'm sorry I'm good at projecting.
Yeah.
He wanted to humble brag about total deaths. Holy crap.
I'm sorry.
And he put it out on social media. I guarantee he got dragged across the calls.
Oh my God.
Did he? When someone responded, did he go, "Don't hate the player, hate the game"?
Please hate this game.
I am going to donate all of this.
Look, after careful consideration,
yes.
Portion of the proceeds. It was always going to be a donation for people who are upset about my wager. This was always going to go to the food bank to feed the hungry. So I don't know why I'm getting so much vitriol for helping feed homeless people at the hungry.
I gotta go to his Twitter feed and see.
Oh, it's deleted probably.
Oh, protected or something.
Yeah, protected. Throw the lock on it.
He's a brave man if he left it open after all that.
Yeah, throw the lock on it.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm gonna see. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I've got to see what Chris Hunichin is doing.
And don't forget, James Harden, his new trainer, Justin Allen, is going to join us. James has lost 20 pounds.
How about that?
And has been working his tail off during this entire time off from the pandemic. So the James you saw in the jersey before versus the James you'll see now, totally different. We're going to talk to one of the guys responsible for that at 9 o'clock. Keep it right here on ESPN 97.5, The Bench.
ESPN 97.5.
Pulling out the coupe at the lot, turn up 12 SWAT, buzzing all the bells out the box. I just hit a link with the box, had to put the stick in the box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 831 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here and hang with us. 713-780-3776. Yeah, James Harden, 20 pounds lighter, according to reports. I haven't seen him, although you can see that he's lost. But 20 pounds is a lot of weight, especially for a guy that wasn't... I mean, James is thick, right? But
yeah.
20 pounds?
In a matter of, what are we looking
months?
At? 2.5 months now?
Yeah.
Season was shut down, what, the 11th of March? Or
now, athletes, I think, and especially, you know, highest level athletes can probably lose weight. Is, you know, maybe James wasn't eating the way he should have been eating.
Possible.
Who was it, Derrick Rose that just ate M&Ms all the time?
Oh, Skittles.
Skittles, yeah.
Skittles.
And Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you eat right and wow, that's your real body.
Yeah, who knows what is, I guess we can find out at about 9 o'clock with his trainer what he was eating on the regular. It may not have been atrocious, but it might not have been what he decided to do for these last 2 months. Maybe James is, I'm just going to go lean chicken and whatever he decided to do.
Yeah, it was probably a much more aggressive eating regimen. He's running hills. I really am curious what clicked with James, because I know the answer is going to be James always works hard. James, okay, that's fine, but this is a different. This is on a different level. What started this? I honestly do believe just watching the reaction of NBA players on Twitter during The Last Dance, they saw. You could tell many of them saw something that was missing from maybe their game or their league, or they have a brand new recognition of what that looks like. And the bad stuff isn't good, you know. I mean, he is the pettiest. He's a nasty guy with not a lot of friends, I mean, is what we know from former players. A lot of former players don't care for him. Mike won a ton, and he's considered the best that's ever done it because he's special in that. You know, the same thing that probably – leads people not to want to really hang out with them a lot, do some of that. The other part is he is on a different level competitive-wise. It's just not – but the good thing that you see is when he lost a series, that guy is banging out the weights the very next day. When he couldn't get past the Pistons, he reclaimed his body or changed his body because he knew he had to physically step in for that wear and tear. I think something you and I have obviously known, and many of our listeners who are listening who – watch Jordan and that era of basketball in its prime, and watch guys like Kobe. It's obvious that there's not a lot of guys willing to really want it that bad. You say you are, and your regular workout regimen's fine, but are you willing to put aside your personal parties and stuff like that to really get on the grind? And maybe a lot of guys, we don't know their regimen, and they are doing stuff like that. Because there's some phenomenal talent in the league right now. But I think this is going to be – I think when the basketball comes back, you're going to see a different version of a lot of players, not just this year, but more importantly, next year, because their off seasons are going to look different because they watched it happen on a documentary format, and they're going to say, man, what happens if I put everything into it like – you know, Jordan, if I become consumed with winning, this is what it looks like.
Do you think that's what happened with James?
I think so.
It'll be interesting to hear what his trainer says.
I wonder if any of that happened with James. Because if James lost 20 pounds, I don't think it happened in just since the last dance. I don't think it's
coincidence.
No. I think it's but I think it happened before. I think it was starting before then.
Don't think James lost 20 pounds in 5 weeks. The last dance was already now. It started 7 weeks ago.
Yeah, but this weight loss, this article came out. I mean, it was already written by Kelly Iko. I don't think James is loose. James is not a 300-pound guy who 20 pounds or 270-pound bad body guy where 20 pounds in a month is no big deal. James is still a fine-tuned athlete. James losing 20 pounds, if that's true, that's a lot of weight for an athlete to lose in 5 weeks.
He hasn't been able to eat those strip club steaks.
Are those high-quality steaks?
Well, I mean, it depends.
A lot of fat? Is fat on those steaks?
Well, but wait a minute. Is he doing a keto? Is he doing a...
Would you be concerned if he was vegan now?
Oh, don't say that. My mom's going to get mad. Because Arian Foster...
That's why I asked.
I know. The vegan thing with Arian Foster sent everybody off the charts. And then a lot of people didn't realize he was off vegan way earlier than... He was eating chicken and different things. He didn't stay vegan for a long time. It was relatively short-lived. I don't even think he did a whole year. But people just made that assumption. He got hurt because he's vegan. He's had injury issues throughout college, soft tissue. I don't know if you saw Pat Starr had a lot of – I don't know. Did you see those videos? I'm not sure what started this, but Pat had a lot of old videos of Arian Foster. Man, you were reminded of what a badass –
I saw that, yeah.
What a badass Arian Foster was. Arian Foster, his size, his tempo as a runner, I thought he was just so much fun to watch. That's when you knew when your team, the Texans, could impose their will on the other team with the running game. There was something really fun about that. And that first game against the Colts, and granted, that was a 6-win season. That was only a 6-win season. They had a lot of losses at the gun in 2009. But the first win of that season, I'm sorry, it's 2010. The first win of that season was Arian Foster ripping the Colts to shreds. I don't know that I've ever watched a game where I thought, holy crap, the team I follow just bullied a longtime bully. I mean, just bullied them badly. He went for over 200 yards in that game. It was impressive.
Yeah, I was in the locker room a lot and following that team and whatnot. He was kind of a dick.
Can I Arian?
Say that? Yeah.
Can he say that? Okay, but Coochie is bad. And to dump that, Dell? This is not the world that we should see. This is arbitrary.
No.
What he does is totally arbitrary.
No, because you can call someone the D word. Oh. You can do that because you're not referencing a body part.
He wasn't like that early on, though.
What? You never said that word early on.
No, not you. Arian.
Arian.
Arian wasn't. He used to come into 1560 and do his show.
Yeah, and then when he got paid, he was a D.
Some of it one of the things I found out.
And that whole baby mama thing.
Well, it wasn't a good look.
No,
I think Arian. One of the things that I think really set him in the wrong direction, personality wise. I actually know this for a fact. Is that social media and some of the feedback that he was getting, because I'm not sure he's a guy who likes that negative energy at all. He's got a little bit of a Ricky Williams vibe to him where he doesn't really care about football at all anymore.
No.
Football never defined him, and I don't know that he ever loved football. He was good at it, but he really didn't like the negative feedback from Twitter. That was something that really, I think, soured him.
Yeah, I think fantasy owners really soured him.
That kind of stuff. Yeah. It's all that stuff where you start hearing, you didn't get more catches. Why are you a vegan? You're being a loser. You're a puss and all this stuff for being a vegan. And I think a lot of that stuff just wore on him because he was starting getting in arguments with people on Twitter, and then he just shut it down for a while.
Yeah. I don't know. He changed drastically.
So we were delivering to his brother, Abdul Foster's place. We were delivering underwear, panties, bras, all this stuff that was being sent out to Port Arthur and the area where Bun's from during the hurricane. And so me and my son Drake, we brought like a bunch of donations from Target. Thankfully, a lot of people on Twitter had, sent me money so I could go buy stuff from Target to donate to people who really needed help in different areas. And this drop was all at Abdul Foster's place. They were sending two or three big trucks out there. And Arian was there at the place, obviously. And Arian, my son, we met Arian, talked to him, and my son said, hey, Arian, how you doing? He goes, I don't really watch or really follow football, so I don't know a lot about you. And Arian goes, that's okay. I don't either. He goes, I don't watch it or follow it either. He goes, trust me, it's not a big deal. Arian would rather talk about things other than football, for sure. Don't ever expect to see him on like a pregame show. Let me put it that way.
No. No, to give his expertise, expert opinions on things going on in the
NFL.
Not
that he couldn't talk about
it.
No,
he could.
I just don't think he cares about
it. No, yeah, right. He was always more into social issues and actually clowning early on. He did different voices in the locker room. Remember that? He used to do a British voice when he was doing an interview.
Did he?
Yeah. But then it turned into kind of a just being. I think he soured on the media and everything, if you want to know the truth. But he changed drastically. 842 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, top of the hour, we will have James Harden's trainer with us here. In the meantime, I want to talk about Absolute Marble and Granite and Jeff Aronoff and the job that dude is doing during this time. And you know what? Social distancing is so important. Jeff will bring a couple of guys, and stay away from people, but he can get the job done while this is an awesome time for you to get stuff done at your home or your business, because you want it this summer. You want Jeff to have that outdoor kitchen ready for you. You want him to have that outdoor patio. You want to have that pool done, because this is when you're going to use it the most. The kids are home for summer. They're young. They want to be. You're going to be outside. It's surprising. Well, I'm not going to be outside in this. Yes, you. That's when you will use your backyard, your outdoor patio, your outdoor grill the most. Amazingly. That's when we always used it the most at my house, was because that's when, well, first of all, the kids were home from school. But secondly, it just seems like, well, if it's too cold, we're not doing anything out there if the weather's not nice and if they can't be in the pool and all that stuff. So you are going to use it. So this is the best time to get this job done now. Let Jeff Aronoff put this stuff in. Let him decorate. Let him redo all those countertops or whatever you have to do. Call him. If you've got a big job, Jeff Aronoff's here for you. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't understand this. Apparently, Burger King is in some trouble. Did you see this? Yeah, Del saw it. You saw
it. Yeah,
this.
I saw it.
You posted it. I don't understand it. People, I don't know, someone asked Burger King, hey, Burger King, I need to know what y'all's favorite Taylor Swift song. And Burger King replied, the one about her ex.
That's
what does that mean?
She writes, a lot of her songs are about her exes. That's why Burger King was like, oh, well, the one about her ex, because that's the thing about her.
She writes about her exes.
She writes about her exes.
So why is that sexist?
I don't know if it's sexist. I think it's
apparently they're saying.
Then you can't pay attention to Twitter. If that's a great joke. If the joke is she writes them all about.
Well,
it
she's being.
No, so the Taylor Swift fans. Something that I found out over the last year and a half is that is. Do you know a lot of the Jimmy Fallon stuff? Do you know a lot of that was pushed by? I went and looked at the Jimmy Fallon party is over hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that I'd say 3 out of every 10, at least 30% were Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I think he
fans.
Took a shot at her at some point.
Yeah, they say that, well, Taylor Swift fans say that he body shamed her and blah blah blah. So Taylor Swift fans
she's too skinny?
Something like that. Be careful what you're saying, please.
Well, the new Taylor Swift isn't the same one. She how do I put this? She's not the skinny girl that you remember.
So,
not that she's quote-unquote thick with
seeds. Yeah, be careful. I don't feel like having Taylor Swift
fans. Is she thick?
No, I wouldn't say that. But she's not that thin, rail, thin girl you remember from before.
Is she like Lizzo?
She's like 30. No.
No, she's not like Lizzo. Well,
she's like 30 years old, right? Or something like that. Yeah. So
well, she shouldn't be like a skinny little girl anymore.
She's not.
I'm just telling
So wait a minute, but I don't get it. I don't understand.
I don't know what Jimmy
found. And Taylor Swift McDonald's got in on it.
No, because basically that's a crack at Taylor. It's just a fun little joke. It's nothing, but Taylor Swift fans have probably freaked out about
it. But I don't get it. But they said it's sexist. Someone here said it's sexist.
See, here's one. The Mercury News. Why are Taylor Swift fans so incredibly mad at Burger King?
But
Taylor Swift fans think she outsmarted Scooter Braun with song cover. Oh, that's something different.
Fierce supporters of the lover singer did not find Burger King's tweet funny, but sexist and an attempt to slut shame the 10-time Grammy Award winning artist.
This is the biggest reach of all time. Burger King makes it to. I'm sorry, did you just slut shame Tay Tay?
No.
Is that what you just did?
No, Burger King didn't say she sleeps with a lot of guys. She just said all her songs about her exes, which I don't know if you know this, but a lot of musical artists write about their relationships.
Yeah, that's why the Taylor Swift fans are like, what can we do to get Burger King?
Yeah.
Oh, let's say it's slut-shaming and sexist. That's the biggest reach of all time. There's nothing. It's a funny joke. Burger King should just... If Burger King responded with STFU, that would be the greatest thing of all time.
Well, okay, so which is worse, to have Taylor Swift fans after you or Beyonce fans after you?
I think Taylor Swift.
I wouldn't.
I know the Bayhive is pretty.
I wouldn't.
It's pretty thick, but so is the Taylor Swift mafia.
Or anybody else?
Brutal.
Bayhive also has a black Twitter element to it. I don't think you want to mess with the Bayhive.
That's true. But Taylor Swift, well, so do you know I had a hive on me one time, right?
West Virginia hive.
The Will Greer hive?
No, not the Will Greer. That hive is weak and uneducated.
Oh.
My. Wow. The hive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's what you get.
Oh, Chase.
We'll be the bit.
Chase.
Okay.
Chase, did you hear that?
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, I said he was the fifth quarterback to watch in college football, and
wow,
I wasn't.
Wow.
That was too low.
Triggered.
Oh, yeah. But, you know that's the case.
I kept watching through the first round because I heard he was going first round.
Here we go.
But no, the Jeremy Lin hive. I've had two hives, Yao Ming hive and Jeremy Lin hive.
Yeah,
actually, the Lin hive was not that big a deal.
Yao Ming hive.
The Yao Ming hive was the worst.
What did you say? He should go back to China or something?
No, not even that. This is what I said, and I got death threats that I had to reach out to the Houston Chronicle. Do you know this? Because I was actually still here. In the Z report, I said, this is after Yao broke his foot or whatever, and I said, the one that actually ended his career. And I said, it's come time for the Rockets to consider all options with Yao Ming. Hopefully he stays good and recovers from this foot. But after another injury now, the Rockets are going to have to keep all their options open, and that may include trading Yao Ming. The fans were so mad. They swarmed my blog, and I don't know how many fans it is. You know, it could have been 1,000 people. It could have been 5 people that were really diligent. I got death threats. I had the Chronicle. They reached
trading
out
Yao
to Hearst newspapers. They took a comment. They took one of my comments, screen captured it, then put a racist comment that I made in a comment to somebody else. They photoshopped a racist comment with me using racial slurs to somebody and then claimed I deleted it. They sent it to Hearst newspapers. Hearst newspapers, I think it was in Seattle, contacted Carlton Thompson and the Houston Chronicle, who was the editor, and they said, we may need to get rid of this guy. He's using racist stuff. I had to meet with Carlton Thompson and have a phone call with people at the Chronicle, and they had to use some type of forensics to study. They went and studied whether or not I used a racist term to somebody. They studied the screen grab they have and determined it was Photoshopped, and they couldn't find anything in the platform that I had a deleted comment that I had made or anything like that. But this was all, and Carlton said, listen, don't comment anymore. Don't write about Yao Ming. Don't even blog for like another week. Let's just sit and let's see how this goes. But they came after Hearst, and they tried to get me fired for saying the Rockets should keep all options open on Yao Ming. That's how bad it was. I don't know. I think they may have taken down the whole blog. It was nothing. I mean, it was very innocuous. But that's when I first realized, holy crap. And this is before Twitter was a big thing. This is before Twitter was a big thing. This is, I want to say 2009, but it was... Getting a death threat is pretty scary. I had everyone sleep on the interior of the house. That was actually one that really, you always hear it and you think, oh, who? No one's going to do anything. But I can tell you, when you get one yourself, you start, it does shake you up a little bit. It does shake you up. And that was for saying the Rockets should listen to any trade offers for Yao Ming.
Well, I could see where people would want to kill you over that. I could see that.
Yeah. Lance Zierlein, Z-Report, Yao Ming. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah.
You did cross the line.
You did. To me.
Yeah.
If you say...
And if you said anything bad about Jeremy Lin, by the way, on Twitter at all, Jeremy Lin fans would find you too and come after you. And they were the dumbest... They were not dumb. They were the most annoying fan base. And this isn't all...
Did you just say Jeremy
Lin? China or anything like that. These are just general weird basketball fans who latched on to Jeremy Lin, and they were like their own hive.
Just that it's unbelievable. It is really, really flipping unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. Lance has such a huge problem with the Asian community.
Why are you so racist?
I know. Wow.
Yeah, I can't
trying
find
to get rid of Yao Ming. Did you see this woman? 103-year-old Massachusetts woman beats coronavirus.
She made one mistake, didn't she?
One mistake.
What did she celebrate with?
A Bud Light.
Yep. That's a what?
Because you know why? Bud Light's like, I am so sick and tired of seeing the 105-year-old man who's, they ask him what is light.
And it's Coors Light.
And he said Coors Light. Get a Bud Light in that old woman's hands now.
She's like a NASCAR driver. She wins a race, they throw a Powerade at her.
Mama's face, like, get Mama a Bud Light now.
My favorite part about NASCAR is like, hey, I just raced 500 miles and won a race. You know what the first thing I want to drink is? A Coke.
What?
The first thing is a Coke?
No.
Well, put it in his hand
or
and make sure
Bud
he drinks
Light. You're probably right. Bud Light probably paid her. Probably paid her to get better.
Oh.
And then drink that beer.
Conspiracy theory.
103-year-old wants a Bud Light.
Well, what if she wanted a Coors Light?
Zero. I think it's proof. The 105-year-old says, what does he drink every day? Coors Light.
So a Coors Light couldn't have paid for that placement?
No.
Either? No?
That guy was honest and real. I can't trust this.
But you can't trust. What did you call her again? We heard you the first time. In fact, we heard that one even though you're off mic.
What did he say?
He called a 103-year-old lady the B word twice.
Was she drinking a Bud Light? She deserves it.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, it's okay. Okay. Yeah. Have to have a bunch of look at her. Ah, gross.
Okay. You're the worst.
Bud Light.
Look at her gross. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
I will tell you right now, full disclosure, I'm not sure I even want to be around in my 90s.
Yeah. It's,
no.
100's 100% I don't want to be around.
She fought. How about that? 103-year-old fighting coronavirus and winning. And but then she had to ruin it.
Yeah. You know who's not probably drinking Bud Light? James Harden.
No. You know why?
Well, he's lost. Well, because first, Bud Light sucks. But secondly, He's on a health kick, and we'll talk to his trainer coming up next.
Next, right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, I want to talk about my man, my peeps over at Chastang Ford. That's Patrick and Joe and the great people over there. 1933. What were you doing in 1933? Okay, nothing. You weren't here. Okay, but you know what the Chastangs were doing? They were selling cars in the city of Houston. That's right. The Chastangs were selling cars all the way back to 1933. How many businesses are still alive since 1933? Honestly, and especially a small business in the same city, okay, doing unbelievable stuff. And you know why they're still here? You know why they're still in business? You know why they're thriving now? And why they're the number one commercial Ford dealer in the city of Houston? It's because they just do it right. More return and referral business. By far of any business that they have. And hopefully that'll change because you're hearing this ad. You're going to say, wow, I want to go and I want to deal with those people. A lot of people didn't even know who the Chastangs were. Didn't even know what Chastang Ford was. And you know what? Here's the deal. Go and get the best deal on a Ford in this city right there at Chastang Ford. It's ridiculous. And I'm telling you, and so many people are taking advantage right now. We were talking about it yesterday. Why wouldn't you take advantage of 84 months of interest free? You're never, ever, ever going to see this again. 6 months, no payments. You're never, ever, ever going to see that again. And nothing down. This is ridiculous. This is the time that you need to go and trade in that car or truck. If you're paying interest on your loan right now, this is the time to go to Chastang Ford and take advantage of 0% financing for 84 months. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just two exits east of 59, 5 minutes from downtown, or ChastangFord.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.